Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Pelshia, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Avanti Feeds Limited Q4 FY23 results conference call. We have with us today from the management, Mr. C. Ramachandra Rao, Joint Managing Director, Mr. A. Venkat Sanjeev, Executive Director, Mrs. Shanti Lata, GM Finance and Accounting, Ms. Lakshmi Sharma, Senior Manager, Corporate Affairs. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. C. Ramachandra Rao. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Specia. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I extend warm welcome for this investors conference call to review the audited financial results of Q4 FY23 and also FY23 as a full year. Along with me here as our Shanti Lata, General Manager, Finance and Accounts, Mr. D.V. Satyanarayana, CFO of Avanti Frozen, and Lakshmi Sharma, Company Secretary. The results of Q4 FY23 and FY23 are already with you for some time now, and we are sure that you would have already gone through them. However, though it may be a bit repetitive, I would like to share with you some of the key indicators relevant for our discussions today. Let me first take up the Q4 FY23 results. A comparative study of Q4 FY23 with that of Q3 FY23 and Q4 FY22 have been given in the presentation already circulated. Gross income in Q4 FY23 is 1,117 crores as compared to 1,132 crores in the previous quarter, Q3 FY23, a decrease of rupees 15 crores by 1.3%. Compared to Q4 FY22, gross income of 1,348 crores, there is a decrease of rupees 231 crores, which represents 17%. The PBT is 140 crores in Q4 FY23 as compared to rupees 96 crores in Q3 FY23, an increase of 44 crores representing 46%. And compared to Q4 FY22 PBT of 121 crores, there is an increase of rupees 19 crores representing 16%. The consolidated results indicate net impact of several factors such as increase, decrease in income, expenditure and exceptional items, etc., relating to feed and frozen divisions, which have been discussed in the following following divisional performance units separately. Let me first take up the standalone financial results of feed and processing division later on. Feed division, let me say Q4 FY23 results. The gross income for the Q4 FY23 is rupees 875 crores as compared to 878 crores in the previous quarter Q3 FY23. A decrease of rupees 3 crores mainly due to decrease in quantity of feed sales. The gross income in Q4 FY23 decreased to rupees 875 crores from rupees 1050 crores in the corresponding quarter of Q4 FY22, decreased by 175 crores representing 17% due to decrease in sales quantity by 29,895 metric tons. The PBT for the Q4 FY23 is rupees 107 crores as compared to rupees 70 crores in Q3 FY23, an increase of rupees 37 crores by representing 53%. Mainly due to stabilization of prices of major raw materials and marginal increase in sales realization. The feed sales reduced to 1,03,376 metric tons in Q4 FY23 as compared to 1,06,313 metric tons in Q3 FY23. The PBT in Q4 FY23 has increased by rupees 5 crores from 102 crores in Q4 FY22, representing 5%. As you know, the cost of raw materials constitutes major share of cost of feed production, particularly fish meal, soya bean meal and wheat flour. the average raw material cost in terms of percentage over feed sale price was 80.63 in Q4 FY23 as compared to 84.36% in Q4 FY22 and 83.61 in Q3 FY23, indicating a marginal decrease by about 3.73% as compared to Q4 FY22 and 2.98% in Q3 FY23. It may be observed that significant contributing factor for increase in margin is due to increase in operational profit from 116.93 crores in Q4 FY22 to 133.49 crores during Q4, an increase of 16.56 crores mainly due to stabilization of raw material prices. The average cost takes into account volatility of major raw materials like fish meal, soybean meal and wheat flour, sometimes increase in, and sometimes it's the increase and decrease during the respective quarters. The present rate of fish meal, soybean meal and wheat flour are 130 rupees per kg, 57 rupees per kg soybean and 28 rupees per kg wheat flour. Let me just deal with each one of them. The first, let me take up the fish meal. The export of fish meal from India to countries like China, Taiwan, Vietnam has gone up steeply over the past 8 to 10 months, creating shortage in fish meal from domestic consumption. The spurt in demand for export is due to increase in import of fish meal from India by China, Taiwan, and Vietnam. And also shortage of fish meal in Chile and Peru. They are the largest producers of fish meal in the world. Added to this, the Indian rupee has been depreciating against USD, giving a higher sales realization to Indian exporters. The exports are incentivized by duty back drawback of 3% on FOB value and at 3.10% of ROD TEP. The fish meal production in India is about 3.75 to 4 lakh metric ton per annum, and shrimp feed industry consumes about 3 lakh metric tons per annum for feed production, which represents about 75 to 80% of fish meal, which is required for feed production. With the present trend of exports demand, almost 3 to 3.5 lakhs metric ton per annum are likely to be exported. This is a great disadvantage to the domestic consumers of fish meal, creating shortage and pushing up the domestic prices of fish meal. To mitigate this hardship, the government of India is being approached to initiate measures to safeguard the domestic shrimp feed manufacturers in the interest of shrimp exports earning valuable foreign exchange by export of value-added shrimps. In this context, it is pertinent to mention that the recent budgetary decrease of customs duty on import of fish meal at 5% from 15 is not significant and advantageous to the domestic consumers. The price of soybean meal has been going up and down with marginal variation thereby, and on average the soybean meal price has been stable. However, in the case of wheat flour, the prices has been on a decreasing trend, with the price being stable at around 27-28 per kg from 33 rupees per kg earlier. To sum up, I would like to share with you that the prices of these raw materials along with related products like fish oil, soya, lecithin, keep changing from time to time depending upon the seasonality, production, global trends, which has direct impact on the raw material cost of the feed beyond the company's control. Now let me give a brief of shrimp processing division. Q4 FY23 results, the gross income for Q4 FY23 is 245 crores as compared to 256 crores in Q3 FY23, a decrease by 11 crores representing 4.3, mainly due to the decrease in average sales realization by $0.68 per kg. However, on a positive side, sales volumes are increased marginally by 15% during the quarter. The gross income in Q4 FY23 decreased to 245 crores from 300 crores during Q4 FY22, a decrease of 55 crores representing 18% year-on-year basis. The sales volume during Q4 FY23 decreased to 2,880 metric tons from 3,559 metric tons in Q4 FY22, a decrease by 679 metric tons. The average realization of sales also went down by 0.60 per kg, resulting in decrease in gross income. Added to this, the incentive of RODTP income from the period January 21 to December 21 was accounted for in Q4 FY22, increasing the previous year's income for comparative purposes. The PBT before exceptional items for the quarter Q4 FY23 rupees 38 crores as compared to 30 crores in Q3 FY23, increased by 8 crores, mainly due to decrease in ocean freight charges and increase in average USD INR conversion rate by about rupees 1.52 paise per dollar. The PBT in Q4 FY23 is rupees 38 crores, increased from 21 crores in the corresponding quarter of Q4 FY22. Now let me give a brief of provision for recall expenses in the financial statements. The company has not made any additional provision for recall expenses in Q4 FY23 since full provision has been made in the financial statements till 31st December 22 against the total claims received from the buyers. Status of the product recall is value of claims received and charged to profit and loss account by the 35.62 crores. Amounts of claims settled up to 31st March 23 is 32.57 crores, and balance claims in the process of settlement is about 3.05 crores. As regards product liability claims for the bodily injury caused by consuming company's contaminated product under recall, the company has received total 17 claims value US$61,682, out of which 7 claims to the tune of US$8,000 were closed without making any payment as there was no liability. Out of the balance 10 claims value $53,682, the company has received supporting documents for only one claim of USD 16,000, and the same has been settled by the company. The company is yet to receive the supporting documents for the balance 9 claims value USD 37,682. However, the company has shared all the relevant data to insurance provider, the New India Assurance Company, to assess and settle the claims. Since the liability has been covered under commercial general liability insurance policy, no provision has been made in the financial statements. The insurance company has appointed a surveyor, and all the documents have been given to him, and he is in the process of scrutinizing them and give his recommendations to the insurance company. Let me now go into the future outlook of the industry, global and domestic. The industry experts at the 2022 Global Seafood Alliance Goal Conference remain optimistic about long-term growth in aquaculture despite increasing concerns about costs and market conditions in 2023. Aqua feed and market prices have consistently been the top concerns for the fish shrimp farmers over the past few years. Since 2021, the stakeholders' top concern has been feed prices. This is mainly due to high volatility of the raw materials particularly since the start of Ukraine war, which led to the supply shock and sent prices soaring. Other concerns are quality feed and also quality of feed and also access to the credit. The banks have now reduced the credit to this sector, and also the interest rates have gone up because of the high inflation. Now, as far as the Indian situation is concerned, the outlook for the year 22-23 started on a low key. The farmers did not show much interest and were reluctant to stock the seed, which otherwise would have been started briskly. As per the information that we have as on date, the stocking is about 9,229 million seats, as against 13,548 million seats during the corresponding period of the previous year. The stocking went down by 30% during the first 4 months of calendar year 2023. However, as the farm gate prices of shrimp is stabilizing, the farmers are looking for stocking in a phased manner to ensure that farm gate prices do not fall steeply with the arrival of raw material shrimps in a large quantity at a time. Therefore, unlike in the previous years, the culture during the current year is likely to be spread throughout the year. The shrimp production in 23 is likely to be around 8.5 lakh metric tons as against 9 lakh metric tons in 2022. Shrimp, let me now give you the details of shrimp production, consumption and production in a company for the 22 and also 23. Shrimp feed consumption, the company's feed sales during the previous year, financial year 22 was about 5.41 lakh metric tons as compared to 4.73 lakh metric tons in FY 21. It is 4.9 lakh metric tons in FY 22, down by 44,000 metric tons when compared to with the 22. However, it is registered. It registered a marginal increase of 24,000 metric tons over financial year 21. Now that the new shrimp feed manufacturing unit in Bandapuram is capable of operating to its full capacity this year, the company looks forward for a undisturbed regular supply of feed to the farmers as per their requirement, as against the shortage which happened during the previous year. Now, the shrimp processing and export, the country's minimized shrimp production and exports for the financial year 22 was 6,34,538 metric tons and 6,43,037 metric tons respectively, including opening stock. The company's export production during the financial year 23 is about 12,497 metric tons as compared to 12,836 metric tons in the financial year 22. It is estimated that exports during financial year 24 would be around the same level of 12,500 metric tons. The process of expanding shrimp processing plant is in progress. The processing facility in Gopalapuram, adjacent to the existing plant, the commercial production operations of the pre-processing plant have been started from 31st March 23. The capacity of new pre-processing plant is 6,000 metric tons per annum. The new processing plant and cold storage unit in Krishnapuram, East Pillar district, with a capacity of 7,000 metric tons per annum. Civil works of the processing plant has been commenced in December 22 and it is in progress now. The total estimated project cost is ₹64.6 crores, excluding land cost, an amount of ₹21.68 crores has already been spent on the project till 31st March 23, and purchase orders have been placed for major plant and machinery, expecting commercial production by March 2024. The company has been selected under two incentive schemes of the Government of India. The sales-based incentive under production-linked incentive scheme and grant-in-aid under Operations Green long-term interventions scheme. Production-linked incentive scheme, the company is eligible for incentive of 6% value-added on normal traditional products and value-added products 10% on an incremental sales over a period of 6 years from the year financial year 2021-22 to 26-27. Subject to a maximum incentive of ₹79.44 crores with minimum 5% CAGR in sales. The company has received an incentive of ₹6.85 crores under PLI scheme of the Government of India for the financial year 22 during April 23, which will be accounted for during the first quarter of financial year 24. Operations Green Scheme. Approval from Government of India for a grant in aid for the proposed investment in new shrimp processing plant at Krishnapuram has been received in December 22. Maximum grant in aid under the scheme is Rs. 10 crores. I think with this, I leave it to you for we'll take it up questions and answers. Okay. Shreya, please, now we'll let us go into the questions and answer session.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from Ankur Kulkarni from Sri Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my first question is regarding the outlook for the current financial year. What kind of sales and profit you are looking at and what kind of margins?
We are actually targeting to maintain the same level, but however, as it stands today, it appears to be the a variance about 10% would be their downside. So the, if we can achieve that, that would be a real good achievement, because as it stands today, we have a shortfall by about 28,000 metric tons, and we hope to make it up in the coming months. As the positive side is that the farmers are now the going for stockings in a phased manner, and we are confident that we should be able to meet the target, maybe with a variance of 10 to 15% down over the last year. I think we, under the circumstances, if you look at the overall industry, the feed has almost dropped in the first 4 months, 5 months, it is down by about 25 to 30%. So whereas ours was not that much, it was only about 10% or so. So we hope to make it up in the coming months, and targeting to reach the last year's sales with a variance of about 7% downside.
So we are expecting the revenue to be flattish or
It will be flattish. And of course, as you know that the prices, you know, there are three products which has been explaining almost every the conference in investors call, that the three items like fish meal, the wheat flour and soybean meal. See, there is fish meal is something which is giving a kind of real concern to us, because the export market is very, very encouraging for the fish meal producers, and there is no mechanism by which that can be addressed so that the domestic domestic fish meal consumers are interested, taken care of. We have represented to the government saying that because the nearly 80%, 70 to 80% of the total production of about 4 lakh tons is being consumed by the domestic market, and if they 75% they export, assuming that 4 lakh tons is the total production of fish meal in the country, the export is estimated to be about 3 lakh tons. So virtually about 75% is going out. So that is causing real concern to us, and that's the reason why the prices are also going up. See, there are two hopes that we are looking for. One is that the production in Chile and Peru. Peru is the most important country which is exporting fish meal. There has not been much production there because of so many reasons. There are, because a lot of juvenile fish coming up there, the production has come down drastically in the last couple of years. And till now, it is still, they have not announced their yearly quota. Now we are expecting sometime in the June first week, they are going for, what they do is they'll just assess what is the potential of the fish that is available in the coastline, and also how much they can produce, and the quota is fixed. That process has not been taken up so far. Normally it is taken up quite early, but this year it has not happened. Two times they went and came back, and third time they are going, and they have gone now, and by June first week we are expecting some information about that. If they are positive and about the availability of fish in Peru, then we hope that the global prices of the fish meal will stabilize. So because as against what is the local price of 125 to 130 rupees per kg, they are getting about 160 rupees, 170 rupees they are getting. So the fishmeal producers in India are preferring to export. That is one thing we have represented to them to do some regulation either in quantity wise or by other monetary restrictions like withdrawing the incentives like duty drawback and this RODTP. But as we know, the government, it is not so easy to get because it is getting foreign exchange also. So, but we are making our best efforts to this end. Once, as far as the other two products are concerned, we are more positive on them because of, the seasonality, because in the soybean meal crop comes in the October. The recent information that this year they are going to get good crop of soybean meal also. And once in October, October we start getting the fresh seed, soybean. I think the price is still likely to be more or less the same with a variance of 5 to 10%. And wheat flour also has come down, and this crop is also going to be record production. That's what I read the information that this year also the crop is going to be good, which will come around March 24. So these two products, if we can really get some advantage in the price front, we should be able to post better results.
And what about margins?
Margins, that all depends on the, again, the price raw material, which if the prices are likely to be here at the same level, we should be able to get about 8%, 7 to 8%, we should be able to make it, provided the prices keep at this level. So we have to sit fingers crossed how is it going to happen, because fish meal ban is started, fishing ban has started, is going to start from tomorrow in the West Coast. So West Coast gives almost 60% of the country's production, and East Coast is opening up on 15th June. East Coast it is over, so we'll have to see how much catches that we are going to getting it from the East Coast. And if the production is good, I think the price should not go up. On the other hand, it should come down a little bit. That all depends upon how these raw materials behave.
Okay, so around 8% EBITDA margins you are talking about, or PAT margins?
No, EBITDA.
EBITDA.
Yes.
EBITDA margins
PAT,
of.
PAT
margins of 8%, right?
About 7 to 8%.
7 to 8%. As in the earlier this year.
Okay, because the quarterly rate of PAT margins is around 9% and the yearly rate is around 6%.
Yeah.
We are expecting in between both of those.
Okay, so around
7-8%. If you look at the yearly performance of FY22 and 23, it's slightly better, though the prices, the volume has come down. We have been able to maintain the profitability slightly more or less than better results overall. With that's what if you look at the 23 FI and FI22 comparatively.
Okay. The second question is on. I mean, this question has been asked to you for several times now, and now you have more than 1,000 crores of cash. So, I mean, what you want to do with that? You have already explained several times that around 400-500 crores is for working capital. But now that we're expecting around flattish sales, and then even if you adjust that, still you will be left with around 400-500 crores. And supplement to that question is that your profitability has increased by 25% this year as compared to last year, but you haven't increased the dividend payout. Even that, you have 1,000 crores of cash and improved profitability and good cash flow. So, I mean, what's the reason for that and how you are looking to deploy that 1,000 crore?
We have been actually again and again we're saying that this, there are two reasons for it. One is that we are not able to really zero on any particular project which we can really invest, but now we have got more clarity on the fish feed and also the pet food. So the fish feed, we are working on that, and we should be able to come out with some, work, capex and all before the end of this financial year, maybe end of this year. We should be able to give you a clarity on the fish feed, what is going to the capacity, because there are so many varieties of feed, fish feed which we are going to take up, and what is the market situation and all. We'll come out some capex which depending upon the requirement, we will be able to give the clarity on the fish feed. As far as the pet food, like dog food and cat food, we are working on that. Of course, India doesn't have much demand for cat food, but definitely dog feed has got a very good market, and we are working on that. And we have the technology also available with us. Thai Union is already there in Bangkok making this product, Thailand. So we have already have a tie-up with them for this, getting the technology of this. We'll be able to do it, and we are getting some surveys done here, what is the demand supply and what is the requirement, what should be the production, what are the nitty-gritties of this project. There also there would be some capex that is going to be, and also we need a lot of working capital there also. So as we've been explaining that the borrowing the working capital from the bank is proving to be very expensive. And it's almost like 12%, 13% is the interest rate that they're charging, whereas we are getting about 7% to 6 to 7% interest on these amounts which we have kept it. We can as well use them for the working capitals, and it actually makes sense because using them when we are not able to employ them directly in a big project, which again we have to consider the profitability, sustainability of such a project.
So, is there any concrete plan regarding this fish feed capacities which are going to come up?
Yes, we are working on that. We should be able to come out with some clarity by end of this year. Because both dog feed and pet food and as well as this thing, we should be able to get clarity. Fish feed is our first priority. We are working on that. So, the other also we are working equally to do the survey. That is most important. Fish feed, we have already the data because gradually the fish culture, the farmers are preferring floating feed. So there is a demand for floating feed is increasing. So so far we have not been, the demand for floating feed has not been much, but now it is really growing up. So I think this should give us the very clarity as to the total requirement, and as I told you, we should be able to come with more information on this future investment and revenues and all projections by end of this year.
End of this calendar year, right?
Calendar year, I'm right. Yeah, calendar year.
Okay, and can you just explain what's the size of opportunity is in this fish feed market?
That's what I see. India is one of the largest producer of fish and consumer of fish also. Naturally, there's plenty of opportunity of increasing the production. Now, traditional methods, you don't get so much fish. Once you get the formulated feed used in the fish culture also, definitely they get the yield will be higher, the cost will be lower, and it will be advantageous for the consumers and also to the producers.
Just like the way you are saying that the shrimp feed is around 8.5 lakh tons, what kind of market is this fish feed? And what are the margins in that?
See, here we have to have the two large the areas. One is the domestic, the local feed that is being used by the farmers, and the formulated feed like floating feed that is being used by the other set of farmers. So gradually we are seeing that the traditional feed users, farmers are converting it to floating feed because they are finding advantage in this. So like that, we have to see, not only that, we should, demand creation is also one of the objects of the company so that the overall production increases. Those figures we cannot right away share with you because it is still under process. Once it comes definitely along with our project details, we'll come with all those details.
I'm not asking about company specific plan. I was just wanting to know the what is the size of opportunity? What kind of market it is?
That's what I'm saying. The market is now very difficult to say because we have both together. See, both that together, we don't know the. We have to do the feed consumption, fish feed consumption by the farmers directly by themselves, not going for protein feed. I think Venkat Sanjeev, hello, is on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line now.
Andy, if you would like to add something on this matter which we are doing, so the MSA, so any, the, this is what the what we are facing, that we are trying to first ascertain how much demand for the floating feed, because the gradually some of the farmers are also going for the floating feed. We have a better opportunities of increasing the total capacity of consumption of floating feed in India. That's what we are projecting.
Okay, then.
So what?
Yeah. Yeah, please go ahead.
What we're looking for is right now is not for fish feed. We don't want to do the very cheap feed, which is called for white fungus. We mostly want to concentrate on the higher value of fish, like barrel only. But right now the culture is very sporadic all over India, so the data is not really accurate because the farmers don't go for stocking of the barramundi continuously because they go for other fishes in between.
Fine, but if you would have given some clarity on at least how much it is compared to shrimp feed or like one-fourth, no, like half or something like that.
Kulkarni, I think I'm right. Kulkarni, the shrimp feed consumption is much less than the fish feed consumption overall. It is much higher.
Shrimp feed is quite higher compared to the fish feed.
Yes.
And also we are asking a time till the year end because we are also doing a survey of it before we start up. What are the numbers to look at?
Okay, so you are stating that this fish feed market is higher than the shrimp feed market, right?
Definitely. But
okay.
Yeah, price-wise it will be lesser.
It will be price-wise lesser, but volume-wise it's more.
Volume-wise it is more.
So margins will be lesser in this business, but volume will be higher.
All these questions can be answered only we start. No, as Mr. Venkat Sanjeev said, there are different types of species, value-added species which we have to see. The price depends upon the type of species which we are going to recommend or the feed that we are going to manufacture. All these details, I think you'll have to wait for another 6 months. We should be able to come with more clarity on that.
Okay, and this is for the domestic market or this is also for the international market?
I think, see, we are... Chappandi, Venkat Sanjeev, Chappandi. Please go ahead.
I think initially we'll do it for the domestic market, but again, Bangladesh is one of the biggest markets for fish, so we might start importing it after a few years after we stabilize in the Indian market.
Can you have any collaborations with for this already technical capability?
Collaboration for what?
For manufacturing of fish feed, just like the way you have with for shrimp feed.
No, we have collaboration with Thai Union. See, we have collaboration. I mentioned that in my earlier introduction.
Okay.
I said we have tie-up with them already.
Okay, even for fish feed, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I request the participants to ask two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Aman Madrecha from Augmenta Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, could you please highlight what happened in the Ecuador market, because month on month we are seeing that the export volumes of Ecuador are continuously increasing, whereas the Indian exports are not going well. So how is the Ecuador market shaping up and how is the consumption going in the U.S. market from the shrimp exports? Some highlight on that.
Yeah, Ecuador is really a real challenge for us to really compete with them because the volume-wise they are much higher. But however, we have the advantage of more value-added products and the because of the proximity of the market, US market, they are, but they are they supplying them. And another reason was that the China was not importing. Now that China has opened up, and the US market prefers value-added products, because that was the time when really we were passing through the very tough period of corona and after effects of corona. So the COVID, that's reason why they had a lot of production in Ecuador that they just supplied to US market. Earlier they were mostly they were supplying to Chinese market. So suddenly they came, and because of closure of the Chinese market, they stopped imports because of this COVID. So the Ecuador found the market there. But now I think the things will more settle. And we have always the advantage of value-added products, which we are definitely in a better position as of now to produce value-added products compared to Ecuador. That it looks like it. There are not many companies and not much of technology involved and all, whereas we have all the Southeast Asian countries have this advantage as of now. So this is advantage has to be taken by the Indian processors, but of course particularly Avanti Feeds, we are really focusing more on value-added products like breaded shrimps, the skewers and shrimp rings and all. So these products will definitely have a better margin, and also we have got equipment, we are going for expansion is also with making more focus on this, so that our total volume, the percentage of value-added products should be more. It's what our target. So once we get that, you get better margin, and also you have specific markets preferring for the, and also we are we are now alternate market we are looking for. Japan is now, we are exporting to Japan. Japan is a good market now. We have, the new market that we have started supply to. And also we are supplying to Korea. These are the markets which, of course, China has also started. So, unlike earlier times when the China payments were not coming in time, now they are more prompt in payments than banks. So this is a positive development. And I think these are all the other markets we can always explore, and we are exploring. And we have found new customers in Japan, Korea, and also China. I think we should be able to diversify and expand our market to other countries also. Not to more depend on US much. Definitely US is the most, the biggest consumer, and also is the, in our exports also they are the, they form the highest percentage of our exports.
So sir, are you expecting the things to settle down on the shrimp export side for this current year, or we are not expecting things to settle down for this year? At least.
See, let me tell you, sir, this year is definitely a challenging year. See, we have already passed 5 months in the financial year. So the, calendar year, and we have only 7 months left in the calendar year. So the challenges are many, and like market stabilization, and we are also every day we are seeing that the markets are not consistent, recession is still there, looming large on almost all the global markets. This is the situation, very difficult to predict for this year. Maybe from we can rather confidently estimate for 24-25 would be much better year than looking at the current year. Current year is going to be a challenge for everyone, for whether it is aquaculture industry or any other industry. 23-24 would be definitely a challenging year, sir.
So, sir, for example, as we are telling that Ecuador is a major exporter to China and now it is exporting to US. So, what makes you confident that it will shift that? This can't be a permanent loss of market share, right, from India?
No. See, that's what I was mentioning. There are two developments which have really identified by the Global Alliance, Aquaculture Alliance, which they met in December 22. They are very optimistic about this, because on one side the consumption is increasing phenomenally of these products, both that's a positive sign, and this is met, it is met by the increased production, and it is not that there is going to be a surplus production so that it will cause harm to our industry. It won't be like that. It will be more stable now. It is stable because Ecuador catering to some extent to China and some extent to US, and we opening up to other our market like China, Japan, Korea, and all these countries. Definitely, we have our own market share, and we can confidently look at the optimistic view of for the year 24-25. 23-24 a little challenging, because the global recessions are there. Slowly it will settle down, and once it is settled down, we are very confident of that. It is going to be stable. It won't be much upheavals are not anticipated in the near future.
So you're talking about financial year 23-24, right?
Yeah, financial year 23-24.
And sir, on the feed side, so what things you are getting on the farming side? How are the farmers reacting to this? And how is it in the farming? Because quarter one is a major season for us in terms of feed consumption. So any sense on that?
Yes. See, in the initial stages, the farmers were not so enthusiastic about it because of the prices, and without the raw material feed price going up and all these things. Seed was not there. Good seed was also not there. So slowly now, it got a little delayed. And also the farm gate prices have also improved and more stable now. So that now the farmers is looking to stock in a phased manner. And moreover, that gives an advantage for them. And because the raw material, that is shims, will not be reaching the market at a time. It will be in a phased manner. So the demand supply is always balanced. So there you have which will help for stability of the farm gate price. That is one thing. And as far as the feed prices are concerned, they are also more or less, they are looking for stable, and they are able to get their margins, and they are able to, get the balance between the farm gate price and the cost of production. I think this is a positive development that has happened. Now, we can expect them to face manner. That is always good to have instead of going all stopping at a time. It is a phased manner, which in fact the Seafood Exporters Association and all have been advocating to go for a area-wise special, phased manner, so that you will get it, and also to advising them to grow a bigger size, not to harvest in smaller size of shrimps. So that the higher the 30 count more, they'll be able to 30 count less, they'll be able to get a better price. That is one of the positive developments. And now we are in fact as the shrimp grows, the Avanti feed is excellent in getting the conversion ratio. Our feed is doing exceedingly well. Recently we have received information that Avanti feed is the best in the market, and so everyone is looking to us for the particularly at the time when they want to grow the shrimp size better in smaller size shrimps. So that is a positive development certainly, and the farmers are also, it is something like cyclic feature. Sometimes it comes, but more or less this on a long term there is always a growth perspective, and the farmers are also looking for increasing their total area in a phased manner, of course not once. And there are other challenges for them, like credit is availability, that is also a challenge. And slowly all these things, as I told you my earlier interaction, because of the bankers are not giving a credit, and number one, they are very, very selective on that, and also the interest rates are very high. So these are all the concerns which the farmer, so normally what the dealers extend credit to them. they will also come back when it is profitable. Everybody is interested to invest it, dealers, the farmers, and everyone will focus on that and increase the production. I think that is a very optimistic approach which everyone is looking for in the industry today.
And sir, how is the Andhra Pradesh government supporting the farmers at this point?
No. See, the government of Andhra Pradesh has brought in a regulation for the regulated growth of this industry. So what they want to do is they want to see that every stakeholder survives in the market. So when the farmer is suffering, the feed prices goes up, they are asking us to come and discuss and to whatever extent possible concern that. Similarly, they are helping the farmers. But sometimes what happens is they are also under constraints. Government of Andhra Pradesh, they cannot extend all subsidies which they were getting earlier, like power subsidy and all. So this is for their, the government has its own constraints. So it's all, consider all these things are a temporary phenomenon. Nothing of this is a permanent. It is going to be gradually stabilized and everyone will realize the advantage of this activity. So because on one side the farmers are getting employment, on the other side they are getting production, sales, taxes, everything is there only when there is a production. So I think this is going to be very, very temporary phenomenon. Maybe by next year, once everything looks bright, then differently everybody will take it in stride and do. I mean, only this is the challenging year. That's what I was telling from the beginning, that this year everybody has to work with a focus and take on the constraints that come, and next year onwards it should be good.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question comes from Gunit Singh from Counter Finance PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I just want to understand what has driven our margins up in this quarter, even though our overall sales have gone down. And you mentioned that fish meat prices are also near all-time high levels.
Can you tell us, repeat the question, please?
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes.
No, better, yes.
Yeah, so I just want to understand, firstly, how our margins have driven up this quarter, even though overall sales volumes have gone down. And you also mentioned that fish feed prices are like nearing the all-time high level. So, I mean, what has driven up the margins this quarter?
Which quarter? This quarter means Q4.
Q4, yeah.
Raw material prices.
Yeah, the raw material prices have stabilized now in that particular
quarter. And also better inventory management and planning.
Okay, but you mentioned that fish meal, which is one of the main raw materials,
that has been going up now.
I was telling not only fish meal, there are other two products like soybean meal and wheat flour also. So the wheat flour is really has come down and it is giving some sort of cushion for us to make up the price marginal increase in the fish meal. And also similarly, soybean meal has also been stable. And what we are looking for optimistically is the crop that is going to come in September, October, the soybean meal, and in the March, the wheat flour. The wheat flour, wheat production is very good. Now the wheat flour price is around 27-28 rupees. And it will, we are expecting that it will be stable and maybe early next year or so when the prices may drop down by 1 or 2 rupees. And once the crop comes, we want to see whether there will be a significant fall in the price of wheat flour. The second thing is soybean meal also is, now it is stable. So the around 57-58 rupees, it is somewhere around 55-58. So that is the rate at which it is being, being purchased. And this crop is also, it's coming in October, September, October it is coming. And as per the Government of India estimates, the crop is very good. And it is going to be a bumper cropper this year, crop this year also. So when there is a crop, it's got no restrictions of export, no this thing, then naturally the prices should come down when the market, the soybean fresh crop is arrives the market.
Okay, that's very encouraging. So, I mean, can we expect like a 13% operating margin as the base margin for the coming year for FY24?
Very early to say. Still, we have some time. You know, 7 months are there still, so very difficult to say. Maybe we'll be able to give some indicator after Q3.
All right. And sir, I have another remark to make. So in 2016, 2017, our stock used to trade at about 800, 900, and currently it is trading at about 40% of those levels. And we used to have a sales of around 3,000 CR at that time, which has come up to about 5,000 crores right now. So rather than looking out and investing or pouring into other venues, why don't we do a share buyback? Because the company is available at much cheaper valuations than before, and returns on this investment should be higher because company is going through a downturn right now in terms of margins. And as soon as the margins return, I mean, company has very cheap valuations currently as compared to historical levels. So why don't you consider doing a buyback, considering that we also have surplus cash on the books?
See, and yeah, our board considers that buyback is not the a way for at this stage, at this juncture when the economy is like this. So when we want money, we want to go for expansion. It is not that we are keeping quiet, not thinking of expansions and growing. It is then. But you know that last 4 or 5 years has been, economically it was so volatile, uncertainty, recession, inflation, whatnot. Everything has happened in this 4 years. How does a company management can take a decision about investing in large sum in an industry? So it is always necessary that we have the proper decision while making the capex. And moreover, see, in a company, in an industry or an activity like this, you need more of working capital rather than a capex. So the working capital acts like a continuous capital. In fact, if you look at the figures, it goes, as the operation goes, you know that we have another Bandapuram plant which has come up. That needs more working capital. So even 1,000 or 1,500 crores which you have, if you require 700 to 800 crores, and the balance we are looking for some project investment. It's a good investment. That's what we are looking for. So the buyback, if you go for it, I don't think it is a big advantage for the investors themselves. It is good for them to have the value of their share growing by investment and getting return, but doesn't serve any purpose by just selling and reducing the capital. I don't think it will materially make any difference in the long term.
Right, sir. So just a suggestion, like instead of doing a dividend payout, if we do a buyback in future, I mean instead of the dividend payout, that will be more EPS accretive for the shareholders, and that will also be tax efficient for the company. So I mean, just a suggestion, like going forward, if you consider it, yes, that would be great.
Noted, sir. Noted. We'll do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. That will be the last question for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to come to the end of the conference. We appreciate the interest from the investors and analysts for the participation. Thank you. And if you need any further information, you may connect with Ms. Lakshmi Sharma of Avanti Feeds Limited at investors@avantifeeds.com. Thank you for your participation. and for using Dursabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.